Wow, there were some amazing gems in that, weren't there? And I want to speak on one of them today. I want to take my message out of Yeshayahu, but it also covers what we read in the Torah. Because today's reading of the Torah is really important. And let us pray first. Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you for the word that you've given me today. I pray, Abba Father, that it will be received in the manner in which it's given. I pray that people will take hold of these gems and just grasp and realize that our time on this earth is short. The time that we live here in comparison to eternity is so minuscule. And we pray, Abba Father, that as each and every one of us works towards becoming Torah observant, that you can just draw us closer to you. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. The passage from Yeshayahu or Isaiah today, in chapter 60, verses 1 to 4, said, "Arise, shine, Yerushalayim, for your light has come. The glory of Yehovah has risen over you. For although darkness covers the earth and thick darkness the peoples, on you, Yehovah will rise. Over you will be seen his glory. Nations will go forward towards your light and kings towards your shining splendors. Raise your eyes and look around. They are assembling and coming to you. Your sons are coming from far off, your daughters being carried on their nurses' hips." This, to me, summed up what we read in the Torah, with how Yah wants us not just to be the light of his word, to be Torah observant, and to be the ones ready that are chosen when Yeshua returns. The word shine in arise, shine is also translated and is noted in good marginal references in scriptures as meaning being enlightened or a spiritual enlightenment. And I am not talking here about the New Age enlightenment. I'm talking about Yah within you. In Ephesians 3 helps us understand this better. It says in Ephesians 1, chapter 18 to 21, slide 3. "I pray that he," that is Yehovah, "will give light to the eyes of your hearts so that you will understand the hope to which he has called you, what rich glories there are in the inheritance he has promised his people, and how surpassingly great is his power working in us who trust him. It works with the same mighty strength he used when he worked in the Messiah to raise him from the dead and seat him at his right hand in heaven, far above every ruler, authority, power, dominion, or any other name that could be named either in the Olam Hazeh or in the Olam Haba, that is, in the world that's been or the world to come." This is a very important scripture because this is how Yah sees you, and it's how he wants you to operate. And I want to talk about some of the characteristics of an enlightened believer. Believers, and some of those believers, what they have about themselves. The things I'm going to speak about are for every one of you, whether you're watching online or in the room. A strong desire for these characteristics will be the real cost that you have to pay to receive them. You have to have a desire for them, and it is going to cost. For instance, we need to stop putting things off. How many times we put something off and say, "I'll do it tomorrow"? Putting things off is off, putting off anything that is important and vital as being right with Yah according to his Torah that is specifically for you is something we must never do. If there is one thing about this generation, it's that it is so dangerous and anti-Mashiach. It is the lack of concern in the world for the things of Yah. It is the loose lifestyle people live. It is so loose, some people, objective censors of popular movies, want to remove the filthy language and obscene sights from their viewing entertainment. They object to the fact that someone else is telling them how their morals should be and how they should behave. They make it sound mature and adult to think that we ought to let filmmaking artists know that their work of art are left alone and untampered to any senses. They are changing the language of books of masterpieces that we've been known for 100 years, and they're rewriting them. I wouldn't be surprised if they start rewriting the Bible next. Pardon? Yep. Whatever happened to being decent, moral, and upright? It's not acceptable in this world. For those of you who went to see Sound of Freedom movie, the advertised movies that were coming up were so profane, I had to literally block my ears and close my eyes. I couldn't believe the language that was coming out, and that was just the shorts. This is also being done in our daily lives with so-called gender equality and how we cannot object to it or suffer the consequences of the wrath of the government and everyday citizens if we do. And when people come to the Assembly of Yehovah and live with this worldly mentality, casually shirking off moral rights and values, walking around in a world like they never heard of Yeshua, people committing fornication, cursing, sitting down in an assembly chair on Shabbat and feeling no conviction, it's time now that the Messianic community should be prayed up, and so prayed up that the Ruach of Yah is able to move so powerfully in our assemblies until anyone sitting here with the wrong motives will walk out and never come back again. That's how we should be. We shouldn't be complacent before we walk in here. We should be prayed up. Our light should be shining. Yeshayahu said, "Arise, shine, Yerushalayim, for your light has come. The glory of Yehovah has risen over you." Why? So that the nations will come to us. That's why our lights have to shine, so people will come to us. Simply, it means Israel and other nations. Israel is lost at the moment. They don't know Yah. They don't even observe the Torah. They follow the Talmud. But our light has to be shining so brightly that they become like moths drawn to a light bulb. That's what our light should be like, emanating from us. Sha'ul's mission was to the Goyim, or the Gentiles, which are the other nations. And he said that being enlightened is learning that the power of Yehovah in resurrecting Yeshua HaMashiach and seating him in heavenly places is the same power towards us who believe today. Adam fell, and we all fell with him into sin. But Yeshua is raised, and we are raised with him out of sin into glory. Can I hear an amen to that? The scriptures teach that although we weren't there when Adam sinned, since he was the earth's king and having dominion over the earth, his loss of the dominion affected all of us. We were in Adam or Adam at the time. It is as though you were born in your grandfather, in a sense, before you were born. His actions affected your existence. Had he not married your grandmother, your parents wouldn't be born and you wouldn't be here. Or if you chose to live in another nation of the world, you would have been born as a citizen of a different country, as many of us here today have been or our parents had been before we came. Australia as a country has only been seconded by second and other nations for 235 years. It's not long, which is a very short time since creation, even though some in our country want to claim that they've been here 65,000 years. I know many of you in this room are immigrants, and also many of us are first-generation Australians. If we were still in the countries in which we or our ancestors were born, we would be living in a much different life than we are today. We may certainly never have the quality of life that we enjoy today. I praise Yah daily that I was not born in Tomsk in Siberia, where my grandfather was born, or Kiev in Ukraine, where my grandmother was born. Even our First Nation people came down from the southern parts of India or Sri Lanka to settle here. And the Torres Strait Islanders are descendants of the people of the Philippines. Every Australian citizen, and I mean every Australian citizen, has migrated from somewhere to this great south land of the Ruakagesh Kodesh seeking a better life. Every single one of us. Well, Adam Sin. Adam sinned and none of his children were born until after he was cast out of Garden Eden. For that reason, we were all born into sin. But Yeshua came to lift us out. Therefore, if the light that enlightens us knows we are raised up with Yeshua as he was raised, then the light the people come to see in Yeshayahu chapter 60 is the experience we have of being seated high above Hasatan, of his power and of sin. We are above it. We have dominion over it. We can conquer whatever our sins may be. What people want to see in believers and what people will come to see is the position that believers have with Yeshua being seated over all enemies. They're not coming to see weak believers who are defeated. They do want to see Yah's glory at work. What Yehovah does in a person who believes is he puts his glory into their lives. Being seated above Hasatan is a real revelation, and it is salvation. If you concentrate on these truths, focus on these gems and your attention to making sure you learn them, you will be amazed at what kind of kingdom, believing life you will start living. The final book verses of the book of Matityahu are truly important in understanding what our true commission is as believers. In Matityahu 18:18-20, Yeshua said, it says, Yeshua came and talked with them. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make from all nations into Talmudim, immersing them into the reality of the Father, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I will be with you always, yes, even until the end of the age. To me, this is how we should live as believers in Yeshua. First of all, authority has been given to Yeshua in heaven and on earth. As joint heirs with him, that authority is also given to us. Then we have to make all people, regardless of their ethnicity, into Talmudim, or followers of Yeshua, as Torah observant believers, immersing them into the reality of the Father, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh. Now this is the key word. The key word is reality. I'm sure you've all heard what other scriptures will tell you and immerse them into the name. But what does name mean? A name can be anything. But when you read it in Hebrew, it reads in Hebrew, the text, the word is on oma, immersing them into the on oma is used. And the word on oma means character and authority. So when you are immersed, you're just not immersed in the name of Yeshua. You are immersed into the character of Yeshua. You are immersed into the authority of Yeshua. That is what is really important. And this is why I love the Hebrew Scriptures. We are immersed into more than a name, but we are immersed into Yehovah's character, of which we take on as we die to self. This is the enlightening that is to shine forth from our very beings. Is that a gem or isn't it a gem? Ha-Satan empowered his position over people, and he has them enslaved to one day finally die and be lost without Yehovah forever. But Yehovah seats us far above Ha-Satan. Everybody who has this light is going to be in some hassle from Ha-Satan from many forms. Family members may start fussing about you serving Yah. They might say you should stick to the family tradition religion. Don't go off to that messianic group. Stick to your Sunday worship, or stick and follow the synagogue. Follow the Talmud. Don't go off there. Friends may start mocking you, especially if you previously went to a Sunday worship service. Even in workplaces, you will come under attack because your light is in opposition to the darkness of Ha-Satan in this world. But don't let any of it fool you. Behind it all is one over whom you are seated. That is Ha-Satan. You are above him. He has no control over you, but must come under your authority. You just have to use it. Speaking of light and entitlement, the Mishkan, or the Tent of Meeting in the Tanakh, used a candelabra that has seven branches, like almond tree branches. We know it as the menorah. We also read that there were seven of these menorot to represent the light of Yehovah. We also know that Yeshua is the light to whom we gaze upon. And when we gaze on him, we can be changed into that same image and glory and take on his character. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, "So all of us with faces unveiled see as in a mirror the glory of Yehovah, and we are being changed into his very image from one degree of glory to the next by Yehovah the Ruach." This scripture is showing us how we are being transformed into Yehovah's character. Now this sheds more light onto the issue. Yeshua is spoken of in Yeshayahu in chapter 11. As the branches from the trunk and shoot of the roots of Yishai, King David's father, Yeshua was of the family lineage of King David. And seven spirits are noted to be upon him, just as the candelabra gave light, had seven lamps. In Yeshayahu 11, verses 1 to 4. "But a branch will emerge from the trunk of Yishai. A shoot will grow from his roots. The Ruach of Yehovah will rest on him, the Ruach of wisdom and understanding, the Ruach of counsel and power, the Ruach of knowledge and fearing Yehovah. He will be inspired by fearing Yehovah. He will not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but he will judge the impoverished justly. He will decide fairly for the humble of the land. He will strike the land with a rod from his mouth and slay the wicked with a breath, ruach, from his lips." We need these seven spirits within us to shine out. The ruach is the Hebrew word for spirit. And as I've shown you in these verses, it also means wind and breath. Everything about these things in the Hebrew language, that is, it also means everything about these things points to one thing over and over, and that is life. The menorah shaped like a tree, it's like the tree of life, whose fruit would have made Adam live forever. But Elohim breathed into Adam the breath of life, and he became a living soul. In Yochanan chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. So Yeshayahu says, Yehovah will enlighten and shine on us. And we will then have light that the goyim of the nations shall see and cause them to come to us. What we had shine upon us is then shone out from us. Like what we saw from Yah is now part of us. It can be likened to Moshe seeing Yehovah's glory and then coming down from the mountain shining himself. In Yochanan or John 22 and verse 23, John 20, 22 and 23, it says, having said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Ruach HaKodesh. If you forgive someone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you hold them, they are healed. Yeshua was sending his Talmudim out to preach to the nations while he was still on this earth. They received the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, within them before the Ruach HaKodesh came at Shavuot. They'd already had Yeshua breathe on them and receive that Ruach. So then they could go out and bring the nations into the kingdom. Yeshua needed to empower them to do his work. So he breathed on them to impart the Ruach into them. Yeshua was not only like the new Adam to lead the human race in Yah's will, but he was also begotten, not created, who breathed life into Adam and in Bereshit. Our salvation must be like a burning lamp. Yehovah's power towards Yeshua is upon us. I mentioned that the menorah was tree-shaped, and more specifically, it is almond tree-shaped, as you can see over there. In Shemot, Exodus 25, 32-33, it says it is to have six branches extending from its sides, three branches of the menorah on one side of it and three on the other. On one branch are to be three cups shaped like almond blossoms, each with a ring of outer leaves and petals. Likewise, on the opposite branch, three cups shaped like almond blossoms, each with a ring of outer leaves and petals, and similarly for all six branches extending from the menorah. The Hebrew word for almond is shaked, and it actually enhances the idea that Yah is trying to show us about light. Almond in Hebrew comes from a word which means not asleep, but wakeful, awake and watchful. It enhances the idea of light because light helps us to watch or see. If we are watchful in a dark world, we are going to carry light around with us. If you want to be watchful and alert, you will shine as the light emanates from you. We need light in order to be watchful. In this day, many people don't care about whether or not there is a God, let alone the true living Yehovah, and my own family fit this category. I even have three close family relatives who are gay or lesbian, including a niece who was once married to a man, had two children, and she left her husband divorced him and is now married to a lesbian partner. What a risk they take. I can assure you they don't like being in my company. They really don't. They say the most horrific things. People are so small-minded that they do not want to think about anything if anything occurs after death. They don't want to know about what comes after death. They're not interested. They just go to sleep. It's all right. They are alive now and healthy. So who cares right now what the existence they may have be after death? But those who are watchful make sure they learn about Yehovah and what is in store for everyone. They come to the light. If we are watchful, we will ensure that we are righteous. We will not be slack about making our hearts right with Yah. We will not be slack about applying what we hear from the scriptures and especially the Torah to our lives. We are dutiful. What did Yeshua call the five virgins who endured? They had enough oil in their lamps and ensured that they would be able to endure no matter how long the time passed until the night before the bridegroom came. He called them wise virgins because they had the oil for their lamps. Now listen to the word of Yeshua when the rich man walked away after being told to sell everything to follow him. In Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 38. He said, "Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit, like people waiting for their master's return after a wedding feast, so that when he comes and knocks, they will open the door for him without delay. Happy the slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Yes, I tell you that he will put on his work clothes, seat them at the table, and come serve them himself. Whether it is late at night or early in the morning, if this is how he finds them, those slaves are happy." Lights or lamps go hand in hand with watchfulness. It doesn't matter when the master comes, the wise and the watchful servants are ready for that moment. They're watching for him. When he comes, they are all set to open the door immediately. They have their lights and they have received light from Yeshua. So how did Yeshayahu chapter 60 say we have to have the light upon us so that our light can shine to others in this dark world? Yehovah has to shine on us first. As I've already said, the Amen in Hebrew means to be watchful. It can also mean make haste. You'll find in Hebrew that the one word can have very many different meanings. And you read it within the context of the sentence that you're reading it, so you know which meaning it has. People who make haste are people who do not fool around. They are not slack. The almond tree, in fact, is the first tree in Israel to flower and bloom in the spring. It makes haste. It's ready. We say a baby is bright when they are alert and watchful. They're not falling asleep all the time. All of this is an indication of spiritual maturity. Yehovah wants you to serve him and become spiritually mature. He wants you to be so eager to grow in the things of his word and obedience to his Torah. He wants you to be responsible with ensuring your heart is ready for the return of Yeshua HaMashiach. If Yeshua should open the door at any moment, would you be all set and ready? You know, you could enjoy yourself in this world, but you are alert to the things of Yehovah and responsible with your life. Do not deny yourself the things of this world and keep in mind that Yeshua is coming and we have to be ready. Even when you fail in sin, are you alert enough to repent and be responsible enough to make it right? You shine because you made sure the light shone on you first. When you read what you all said, you need to be enlightened about some things. Did you make up your mind to be enlightened about them? Please do not read scriptures, and when you come across something you do not understand, forget about it and look for something else that you do understand. You need to be responsible to realize Yah wants you to know the whole book, not just the last third of it. If there is something you don't understand, make it a point to ask about that verse or study it yourself in prayerful study. You can ask him to reveal it to you, show it to you. Phone me, email me, or any of the leadership team in this congregation, and we will help you clarify something you do not understand. Any of us is only too willing to help you. We are here for you, to serve you. You do not want to miss a thing when it comes to Yah's word and the true understanding of his word. Make sure what Yah wants you to learn. What he wants you to learn may not be the same as what he wants your spouse to learn or partner to learn and all other members of your family. realizing that no matter how long you've been studying the word, and for me that's 72 years, there is still more you can learn and receive an aha moment from. Make sure you stay alert and never slack concerning the things of Yah. But also remember that some of you are still at baby steps in relation to Torah. Yah knows where you are at in your walk, and he is the one who will increase your knowledge. You can't get it all at once. It takes time. And you will find that no matter how long you've been Torah observant, there's always something you'll pick up and find down the track. If you wonder why things happen, bad things can happen to good people. Make sure you find the answer. It is how you handle the bad things that is important. Go to your prayer closet. Seek Yah to give you the reasons. Be pleasing to him. It may be just a test, or maybe there is something in your life that is not strictly to his Torah that he wants to teach you. Be mature and watchful. Be watchful enough to take what is in the scriptures and what is taught even in this room, and not let it simply drift away after you receive it. Take it and pray about it, and make sure it's in you solidly. Pursue it more at home. The following scripture is Yeshua's response to the Talmudim of the parable of the sower, which we read in Matityahu today, and I'm going to read it from Luke now. In Luke 8 and verse 11 to 15, it says, the parable is this. The seed is Elohim's message. The ones along the path are those who hear. But then the adversary comes and takes the message out of their hearts in order to keep them from being saved by trusting it. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, accept it with joy. But they have no root. They go on trusting for a while, but when times of testing comes, they apostatize or fall away. As for what fell in the midst of thorns, these are the ones who hear. But as they go along, worries and wealth and life's gratifications crowd in and choke them, so that their fruit never matures. But what fell in the rich soil, these are the ones who will hear the message. Hold on to it with a good receptive heart. Be persevering. They bring forth harvest. I think that one explains it better than the Matityahu one did. As it says, the word taught is like a seed sown in a field. We are aware that some ground is too hard to receive it. Other ground has too many other concerns, like the thorns that choke out the new seedlings that result from the seed and the word being ineffective. Still other seed doesn't receive it to begin with. It bounces off, so the birds eat it and steal it. Every one of us can be wise in our own eyes, but it is a matter of getting our priorities straight. Yehovah made it this way so that nobody has to go to hell if they do not really want to. But each of us will be responsible for our own souls. I can't be responsible for my nieces or grandchildren's souls who are going the wrong way. Yehovah wants us all to enter the kingdom of Yehovah. But then the scriptures say, from what Minister Yitzhak told us from his message last week, from Matthew 22 or Matityahu 22:14, many are invited, but few are chosen. You people in this room, everyone listening online at the moment, are the chosen ones. How do I know that? Because your Torah is within you. The light of Yehovah is shining from you. Others may think they are chosen. Jewish people think they are chosen ones. But when the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place, they will be like the guest who did not have on his robes of righteousness. By making sure we are clothed in Yehovah's righteousness, we can be alert, watchful, and full of light, and ready for when Yeshua comes. Are you ready for him? If he has come at this very moment, if he was to walk in this door, do you need to get with him and allow him to change some things in your life? We are presently in the 40 days of awe, known as the 40 days of repentance before Yom Kippur. Now is the time to start looking at ourselves, our attitudes and our behaviours, and making sure they line up with Yehovah's word. Yes, we are redeemed by the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, but that is not a license to sin. We have to be as Yeshua was and do as Yeshua did. We have to be completely Torah observant as what is applicable to each and every one of us as an individual, and repent if we are not living as we should. It's now time to make Yehovah and his Torah, with the help of Yeshua and the Ruach HaKodesh, a priority in our lives. So when the bridegroom comes, will you be ready for him? Are there any questions? Microphone, please.
When Yeshua breathed his spirit on his disciple, and then he sent them out, as part of his spirit given to the disciple, different from the Ruach HaKodesh.
Yes. Yes, so they actually had the Ruach. Yeshua was operating in the Ruach HaKodesh the whole time he was on this earth. Yochanan, if you remember Yochanan the Immerser, when Miriam, the mother of Yeshua, went to Elisheva before she even knew that she was with child with Yeshua, and Yochanan was 6 months old, when she walked in, Elisheva said, the Ruach HaKodesh went into Yochanan and he jumped for joy within her at that time. So the Ruach was within Yeshua, within Miriam, before he was born. It remained in Yeshua. And then Yeshua breathed the Ruach onto the Talmudim, as Yeshua breathed life into Adam, and he breathed his Ruach into the Talmudim so that they could go out with the authority that they needed to bring that was the Jewish people of the day into the kingdom. Because the Jewish people of the day were following the Parashim and the Zedekim, and they were following as they had in Babylon, and they were not following the Torah as they should be. So Yeshua wanted to bring them back to Torah. The Torah has never been done away with. The Torah is the foundation of everything. And when you look at the Torah and the instructions in the Torah, then you look at the prophets and the writings that are part of the Tanakh, they lead you back to Torah. And then Yeshua came on this earth to once again lead the people back to Torah. So once you've got Torah within your life, living according to it, what is the fourth commandment? What is the fourth commandment? Observe the Shabbat and keep it holy. Okay, that is Torah. So we should always, everyone in this earth should be observing, you know, they say they observe the Ten Commandments, but they don't worship on Shabbat. Or if they worship on Shabbat, they don't follow Torah, they follow Talmud. And so this is why we are different. This is why the light emanates from us, because we have something that nobody else has. This is what they want. We have to make sure our light is shining. The days are numbered. I'm really sure the days are numbered. And we have to be bright. We have to be shining bright. We have to be that light that all those moths out there want to come and land on us and find out what it is that we've got. Not that I could stand the thought of that personally. But you know what I mean. Any more questions? Okay, we'll move on to the remembrance service.